I must be getting weak in old age, so I'll let it there. You know, I've been in ministry for a fair amount of years, and you probably all hear the expression, you know, that about takes the cake, or I thought I've heard it all. You know, I thought I'd been asked about all the questions to be asked a minister, but here this morning, right after I got to church, a person came to me with the church bulletin, and they said, "Clarence, I have a question for you." And I thought, well, they're going to ask me something about the sermon title or something like that. And they said, "I just wondered, last week when Jamie preached, she announced that she was pregnant. Are you going to announce that you're pregnant?" Well, the answer is no, I'm not. But we look at today's text, and it describes a miraculous healing that took place in Christ's ministry in Capernaum. And it's described in Matthew's account as Jesus' own city. It was after Jesus had been rejected by the people of Nazareth, which was his native city, that he had shifted his home and his operation to Capernaum. Jesus had already performed some miracles, and he was becoming known as a person who did great things to help people. He had healed Peter's mother-in-law. He had driven evil spirits out of a man who was possessed. And earlier in this chapter, before what I read to you, we read of Jesus summoning his 12 disciples to be his followers, and also healing of a man who had and was afflicted with leprosy. It's important for us to care about other people. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and that says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." And I don't think we have to be at a certain age to do that. Because in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul says to Timothy, he says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, faith, and in purity." The healing of the paralytic is described in three of the four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that I read to you from this morning. John doesn't mention it. One interesting fact of this healing of the paralytic is not found in Matthew's narrative, but by Mark and Luke, and that is the friends of this man. Mark tells us that there were four who were carrying their friend's bed to Jesus. They couldn't get into the house because of the big crowd of people, so they had to go up and literally let the man down through the roof. Let's look at the architecture of the houses in that day. One Bible commentator says they dragged a sick man to the housetop. The Oriental houses were built of stone with a flat roof on which the so-called upper room was situated. And there was a stairway that often led up from the outside. So if this house had no outside stairway, one close by or near it did. And since the houses were close together or even joined, it was easy to pass from one roof to the next. So the paralytic was carried to a place on the roof, directly above where Jesus was speaking. There they made a hole in the roof by taking the tiles away. And then they let the man down. So let's try and imagine that scene happening here this morning. Just standing here in a crowd, just assume the place was full. People were standing around the walls, hardly anywhere else for anyone to stand. And all of a sudden, we notice that the roof is being taken apart or taken away. And then there's a hole large enough for four men to be lowering down a bed with a man on it, right in front of Jesus, right in this very spot. And there lying on the bed is this paralytic man, can't move, completely paralyzed. You probably would never forget such an event as that. You would always remember that hole in the roof. You might even wake up in the middle of the night and notice or think about that hole in the roof that Sunday morning or whatever time it was. And that hole in the roof has a message for us today. It tells us many important things. First of all, it tells us that we need to care about people. That is a message that we need in our day and age. We need to be concerned about people. You read in the gospel narrative that Jesus saw their faith, the faith of those four men, and the gospel narrative does say that Jesus saw their faith. This indicates that he approved and he was glad to see that they cared about this man and believed that Jesus could help him. At first glance, we might think this seems a little unusual that several friends should form a committee to bring a handicapped person to Christ. And yet, what is more natural than that those people who were closest to this paralytic man cared about him and should make it possible for him to get to this divine healer? They didn't wait for Jesus to search him out personally or say, "Bring that paralytic man to me." But they were the hands and the feet of the Lord in reaching and bringing that man to him. The church's ministry is not performed only by ordained ministers or licensed ministers, but the members of the body of Christ who serve one another, and as they help anyone in need, they are doing it for Christ. So here simply are lay people at work performing a vital ministry. Where would the crippled man have been without such friends? And where would those who are sick, lonely, depressed, and elderly among us and our acquaintances be without us today? Before Jesus died on the cross for payment of our sins, he said to his followers, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And we find that in John 15, verse 12. The love of Jesus was more than his words. He didn't simply stand there and sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love." He did something to show that he loves us. He went out of his way to give his life for you and for me. And now he expects us to go out of our way to help each other. As we learn to appreciate God's love for us and all that our Heavenly Father has done to rescue us and make us his people, we will love each other as Christ has loved us. I have to think about the story of the two bears. And yes, the two bears, not the three bears. A man and his wife were continually quarreling and squabbling and fighting with each other. And it was a common thing for the neighbors to call the police because of the disturbance in this house. And then all of a sudden, things changed. Nobody heard them fighting and quarreling anymore. When a friend asked the wife about it, she answered with a little chuckle. She said, "Well, everything has changed since two bears came to live with us." And the friend said, "What do you mean, two bears?" She answered, "Well, actually, it's two Bible passages. Bear ye one another's burdens, and forbearing one another in love." Yes, two bears. And if only those two bears would live in our homes oftener than they do, we might learn to overlook each other's faults and love one another as Christ loved us. We would show the same kind of concern for each other that the four men showed their paralytic friend. That is one message of the hole in the roof. The second thing that the hole in the roof tells us is that the people are more important than things. You may think that's just an ordinary thing to say. After all, who doesn't know that? Well, knowing it, but do we show it? Let's take another look at what is happening here in this gospel passage. It says, all of a sudden, somebody says, look what they're doing to that roof. That's vandalism. Forgetting entirely that the roof is not merely as important as the person who's being lowered down to Jesus. Doesn't each of us, in one way or another, often do that very same thing? We so often get our priorities all mixed up, paying more attention to things instead of people. What about the father that is so busy living, making a living, that he doesn't have time to do things with his children? Or what about the mother that's so concerned about having the house neat and order that maybe the children become neurotics because they're almost afraid to touch everything, because everything has to be in its place? I could go on and on with examples. But I think we all have to admit that too often things are more important than people. The hole in the roof wants us to teach us that people are much more important than things. The hole in the roof also reminds us that when we come to God for help, we are not disappointed. He knows our needs, and He takes care of them. Some time ago, I saw a sign along the road that simply said, it doesn't cost, it pays. And of course, this was an advertising gimmick, but it's true, as our lives as children of God, it doesn't cost us to be gods. It pays us to be children of God. Why don't we start talking about how wonderful it is to be the children of God instead of always talking about all that is involved in being a Christian? Let's tell people what a privilege it is to be the people of God and to enjoy His blessing continually. It paid the paralytic man to be brought to Jesus. He didn't leave the building the way he entered it. He was left down through a hole in the roof by four ropes and four friends. But he walked out the front door carrying his bed. He walked out and he praised God. Let's look again at verse 25 of today's passage. It says, the man departed to his own house glorifying God. Earlier in the chapter, if you would look, we would read about Jesus healing a leper. It says that Jesus charged him or told him to tell no man. The next part of the narrative goes on, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Jesus knew people well. If you want them not to tell, they tell. So often is the same true of us. The things that are the easiest to tell are the things that we've been told not to tell. Whether that is what Jesus had in mind really doesn't matter. But the important thing is that the paralytic man told what God had done for him. And that hole in the roof reminds us that we have a job to do, that we need to tell people about the wonderful things that God has done for us. Not only does the hole in the roof tell us that we should be concerned about other people, that people are more important than things, that God will hear and answer our prayers, but it also tells us that we have a God who forgives. And that is more important than anything else. The man on the bed was lowered down to Jesus. The room was quiet, and Jesus spoke. What did he say? Did he say, young man, I say to you, arise? No, he looks down at the man and he says, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Matthew 9:5, your sins are forgiven. That is what the man needed more than healing of the body. And you and I need forgiveness more than anything else. We know and we feel it inside of ourselves. But in spite of our best efforts, we can't live holy and perfect lives. We are, as we confess many times in worship, poor, miserable sinners who deserve God's punishment. The hole in the roof reminds us that we have a God who forgives, who loves us, and removes our sins. Some people say that the gospel is simply good news for a bad situation. But I think we all know that that's not true. The gospel is precious. It is the most important part of the Christian religion. We have a God who loves us and forgives our sins. It is for us to accept His love and forgiveness. The life of that paralytic man was never the same because he accepted God's forgiveness. He had it all. He had forgiveness of his sins. He had a sound body, but forgiveness was the most important. When we wonder if God forgives our sins, when we wonder if God still loves us, we need only to look at the hole in the roof and be assured that God, for Jesus' sake, forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives. Amen. Let us pray. God, put in us a desire to be faithful followers. Forgive our easy confessions of faith, our mouthing of simple words, without understanding or caring enough what faith requires of us. Increase our confidence in your trustworthiness and in the goodness of your plan for us and for all people. Strengthen our desire above all else to be in harmony with your plan, and to give your Spirit in our own time and place as Jesus did in His. We remember the witness of brothers and sisters in Christ over the years who knew the cost of obedience to you and who willingly suffered ridicule, rejection, torture, and even imprisonment, even death for your sake and the gospel's. Help us to show our love and to live out the answer for our joy, accepting whatever risk it may bring us as we love each other and every person along our way. Help us to make strong bonds of caring support within our church family. But don't let it stop there. In the name of Christ, who loves us and with an everlasting love, amen.